Rodgers in trouble. Does he have a vintage moment in him? In the end zone, it is caught for the win.
Pressure, pass is picked off, and who is it? Big B.J. Raji for the touchdown.
Thank you, everybody that's tuning in. I am Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein, and we are Packs What She Said, coming to you much sooner than we wanted to in regards to having maybe a season-ending kind of episode. But here we are, Perry. Any overarching thoughts from, you know, now that we're like 48 hours after defeat?
I'm still mad.
That's fair.
I'm just in one singular phase of moving on, and it's anger. I think I was telling a friend of mine this weekend because she was asking me how I was feeling about the game. And I was telling her it's the playoffs, right? You kind of, everyone resets and anything can happen. And that's the fun of football, is not getting best 3 out of 5 or best 5 out of 7, like baseball or basketball. It's like you go in and you play your best game and you either go home or you advance. And I was like, that being said, I think what's the worst part about the last couple of years with the Packers seasons is that when you lose in these games, that's it. It's just, it's so abrupt and it's just an end. Like, it doesn't matter what happened in the regular season. It doesn't matter that Aaron Rodgers might win MVP. It doesn't matter that Matt LaFleur might be coach of the year. Like, the one goal that everyone is actually there to achieve, irrespective of the rest of the accolades, it's not possible anymore until next year. And it's just, it's so jarring that, I mean, for me as a fan sitting on my couch, obviously 48 hours, I'm not still can't believe that they lost. But for the players, I'm sure that this is just like the worst way to have a season end, especially one where it felt like they were fully in contention to make it all the way to the Super Bowl as the best team in the NFC again.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Matt LaFleur kind of said it best post game. And this was probably the most down that I can remember seeing him. I know nobody likes to lose in the playoffs, but the last couple games, you know, had moments where they kind of felt maybe like they were out of reach. And this one felt like they were in the driver's seat from start to blocked punt. But Matt LaFleur said basically, like, you know, at the end of the season, 31 teams are unhappy. So until you get over that hump, even if you lose the Super Bowl, like, there's going to be unhappy players and unhappy teams. But I agree with you, and we talked a lot about this on the episode, that the Packers were 2 wins away and had everything in front of them. You know, even if you looked at like betting odds and money lines and statistics, they were the favorite above the Chiefs, above any AFC team, yeah, to go all the way. And the 2 home games were something that they said, like, oh, this year is so much more, you know, meaningful because there's 80,000 people there instead of 10,000 people. So I think we all just kind of bought into it. And I think the hardest part is, you know, even rewatching the game, they were so close and this team was so capable.
Were they,
so
though? Much
more, I think they were, I think what I'm trying to say is that they were like so much more capable than what we saw. And I don't understand how that continues to happen in these big moments.
So that's been something I've been asking myself, is like, have there been any patterns with these losses where, like, is it one thing that needs to be fixed? And the answer is no. Like, I think that, and I said this before this game, that like no team is like wholly complete. I think there are some that are closer than others, right? Like, we watched the Chiefs last night. They look unstoppable right now. But the Packers certainly had plenty of weaknesses to exploit. And I think the 49ers just did like exactly what needed to be done to exploit the Packers' weaknesses. And then in the same vein, like, the Packers beat themselves, you know, special teams is a part of it. Aaron, I never thought I'd be saying this, but Aaron Rodgers' play was not Aaron Rodgers. It was not up to par. It was not the MVP out there. And I think when you look at this loss in particular, as maybe Aaron Rodgers' last game as a Packer, which we all knew it would be, like, this is not the performance that I care to remember from him. And I think I split it down the middle between him and special teams on what went wrong. I mean, I don't know about play calling at the line, whether it was him or Matt LaFleur making changes, but I think that there was plenty for Aaron Rodgers to take on the field. And he was doing that too in the first drive. On that drive, like, it wasn't like he was hitting every first read. It was, he was just taking what was in front of him, whether or not that was the check down. And then after the Mercedes Lewis fumble, that just went away. He just stopped taking what was in front of him and stopped taking what the defense was giving him. And it just completely fell apart from there.
Yeah, I was looking for the stats and I couldn't find them directly in front of me. But earlier in the week, you know, you and I had looked at Rodgers' numbers and how he was like undefeated in the playoffs if the defense allowed less than 20 points. And he was, you know, above average in wins and losses if they allowed less than like 25. And then, you know, where things really fell off was if the defense gave up like 28 or more and then 30 or more points. So even talking about the game and, you know, watching analysts and, you know, talking heads around the NFL pre-show or pre-game talking about like what this game is going to look like, I think we all kind of thought it could be a high scoring affair, you know, 31-28, 27-24. It felt like it was going to be the defense that we'd seen the last like 4 or 5 weeks giving up 30-ish points, and Rodgers was going to have to, you know, get the offense firing. The fact that the defense had the best performance of the season, you know, in recent memory, maybe ever in a playoff game that matters when you're talking about like a low scoring game, and then have that output from the offense and special teams. It's just, I think that's why it was such a heartbreaking way to lose, or to watch them kind of fall apart the way they did, because it happened in such an unexpected way. You know, yeah. It's not like it was a last second field goal, but it wasn't like a, oh man, it's tied 28-28 and there, here comes Robbie Gould. It was like the hell, the defense did literally everything that they should
have.
The
offense just couldn't move the ball. I mean, they weren't hitting anything that they were doing this season, aside for a couple of big plays. Like, it was force feed. It was everything that goes wrong, basically, when Rodgers tries to play hero ball. It's force feeding Davante Adams. It's not getting the ball out quickly. Like, he's a completely different quarterback when he gets the ball out in over 2.5 seconds, and he was holding it like crazy. Originally, when I was watching it, and again, I didn't do a full rewatch, but obviously looked back at enough of the clips. Like, at first, while I was watching in the moment, I was like, man, this, like, maybe this offensive line shuffle was just the last straw, kind of. Like, they'd done so well this whole season. And I went to the game fully being like, I trust Matt LaFleur and I trust Adam Senevich because they've done such a good job. And in the game, I was like, man, maybe it's just the protection isn't holding up. That wasn't the case. He had plenty of opportunities with a pretty clean pocket to get the ball out, and he just held onto it for too long. And that was, like, my biggest thing whole game watching it. Yelling at my television, like, get the ball out faster. Just get the ball out faster. No targets for a single wide receiver not named Davante Adams until the fourth quarter. And again, that may be play calling, but that also may be Rodgers just not going through his reads, not even like trying to throw to everybody else. I mean, I feel like I spent the week defending the Packers offense for having enough weapons besides Davante Adams. And this game, like, completely shot that to hell because none of them, I don't even think the answer is none of them stepped up. None of them were even given an opportunity.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's, you know, Lazard was wide open on that throw into double coverage. Cobb got one shot on the sideline. That was just kind of like a chuck away. Like, it just, none of it made sense. And we talked about, you know, the loss of MVS and what that could mean. I do think there's an element of that, but I think the players played well enough on offense, you know, in their positions. I know Josiah DeGuara had the drop, but
yeah, but you can't get one drop. Like, here's my thing is that people are like, oh, he, like, Josiah DeGuara dropped it. Okay. Drops happen. Go back to him. Like, EQ got what? An end around, and that's it. You get nothing. Like, it's just, that's what kept bothering me. And then you're going back to the run game that was like doing okay. And obviously Aaron Jones had that incredible 75-yard catch and run, but like, then you lose AJ Dillon. So you lose the element of like the two back sets and the pony package and all these like fun wrinkles that they're used. There was just no adjusting to even like the slightest bit of adversity, which was their strength all season in making these like tiny minor in-game adjustments, no matter what happened. And none of that happened. And here's my question for you. And I hesitate to say this because I freaking love Matt LaFleur and I think he is a phenomenal coach and I want him in Green Bay for a very long time, but there's something about when he gets to the postseason, how he loses a bit of his aggressiveness. And again, I don't know what the balance is between him and Rodgers making checks at the line and disregarding what Matt LaFleur is calling, because I fully believe that that probably happens too. But I'm like, what is it as soon as like one tiny thing goes wrong, like the Mercedes Lewis fumble, it was early enough in the game and you were dominating anyway, to not go back to the type of scripted play calling that we were seeing in the first drive where they easily scored a touchdown and just get hella conservative.
Yeah, I was trying to think about that, and there was a part of me that, you know, do we think it's solely on Matt LaFleur's shoulders? Because he takes the blame for everything. You know, he took the blame for special teams. He took the blame, you know, for every mishap that happened. And, you know, I can't remember which reporter asked him, but postgame they said, like, did Aaron Rodgers play well enough for you to win this game? And, of course, you know, Matt LaFleur said, yes, he did. I didn't put the guys in a good enough position. But, like, are we sure that Rodgers followed the script? Because I don't think in the script, you know, LaFleur wrote target Devontae 37 times and yeah, don't look at any of your other receivers. So I think there's a part of it where, yes, your two best players on the field are Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. So of course, if anybody's going to be able to make magic happen, it's those guys. But when you see things that aren't working and you see the game plan that the 49ers had for Devontae, you know, maybe they had their own little version of 17 Bulldog dialed up. And then that's when you have to get creative and work around that. And whether that was Matt LaFleur not getting creative or that was Aaron Rodgers not buying into the play calling or changing things, you know, we're not going to have the answer to that.
I know. And even with 17 Bulldog, the Packers still put up 30 points. Yeah. Like, they were still able to move the ball against the Ravens. So I don't know. I think just all around, like, quite disappointing. Everything that this offense like worked to achieve and become this like really interesting multi-dimensional offense that can like beat you in a bunch of different ways, like all of it was lost. And I hate the idea of this being like the last game that I watch with Aaron Rodgers under center, because it's just so not indicative of his career and like the amazing things that he's able to do with the football. Like just none of it was utilized. But you did mention the defense, so we got to talk about the defense, because that was the most like iconic championship level performance I have almost ever seen from a unit. And I think what I'm most angry about, and I think a lot of you saw my tweet as my most immediate reaction after the game, is that was just so wasted. That was an amazing performance. That type of defense down the stretch can win you a Super Bowl if your offense can just score one more touchdown. And I'm just so unbelievably impressed with the way that they played.
There's nothing like the NFL playoffs. Move over, Bills Mafia. It's time for Balls Mafia with our sponsors of today's show, Manscaped. They're here to remind you that the recipe for success in the playoffs is to protect your franchise quarter balls. The road to the Super Bowl is never easy, but the road to your Super Balls is a few clicks away. Take the Lambeau leap and join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code PWSS20 for 20% off and free shipping.
This year, take your package to the next level with their Performance Package 4.0 and their brand new Ultra Premium Body Wash and 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin, and the advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate nuts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in their Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxer briefs as free gifts to keep all of your goodies stored comfortably. Let's blitz poor hygiene all night and use the best tools for the job. Be sure to travel to manscaped.com for our exclusive offer of 20% off plus free shipping with the code PWSS20. Tame that playoff beard in your pants.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code PWSS20. When grooming your most sensitive areas, why play in the wild card game when you can take the safety of a first round bye with Manscaped? Yeah, I mean, you know, going into it, the question marks were Debo and how they would stop Debo Samuel, and Elijah Mitchell didn't play the first time those two teams met. And George Kittle was kind of in a dry spell. And, you know, how are they going to handle him getting hot? They were the best red zone offense in the NFL this season, and the Packers defense didn't allow a single touchdown. So, you know, as much as we talk about, like, it sucks to think about this potentially being Rodgers and Devontae's last game, in a Packers uniform to have the output that they did. For guys like Z, who on his first snap back after injury to get a sack, and, you know, Preston, and I think Adrian Amos stays. Yeah, but, like, I mean, the defense is going to look so different next year that it hurts for those guys.
I don't know. I actually think of all of each of the units, the core defense is pretty intact.
Better off than the offense.
Yeah, like, I actually am really excited, and I think this should mean really big things to come for this defense because they're really young. Obviously, Joe Barry is sticking around, which is great news because I guess that is something that's different from the past couple of seasons. No one's calling through the defensive coordinator's head. And you do have, yes, there are a lot of question marks, and I think that's understandable given what the Packers did this past offseason to get them to this position. Like, they did do their version of all in, but the secondary is basically all intact and together besides potentially needing to re-sign Rasul Douglas. You still have Chris Barnes, you still have Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark, and the rest are question marks, and that's okay. So those are all your stars that you're retaining. So I'm really excited about the defense. I can't believe that the Packers finally get a performance like they had. And because we've been saying for a decade, if Aaron Rodgers just had this kind of defense, he would win a Super Bowl. If Aaron Rodgers just had a defense who could have stopped them, they would have won that game. And then he gets that performance and he doesn't show up.
Yeah. And I will add to the defense. I think, you know, if there's one piece, Rasul Douglas, you know, his agent probably pissed off his agent earlier today because, you know, they said, like, what is it going to take to keep you here? And he was like, I don't know, that they asked me to stay, like, basically vet minimum, which, like, you love that attitude from players. Devondre Campbell, I think, is definitely a missing piece where if the Packers have to go back to the drawing board at inside linebacker, that to me, I think would be the biggest question mark, because you're right. You know, Kenny Clark is there. Dean Lowry maybe can stick around. I don't know if the Packers will do anything with Preston, like trying to restructure his contract, but you've got Rashawn. Packers typically take edge early, so you'd think you'd be able to find rotational pieces to pair with him. Your secondary is intact. Like, there's enough pieces there that you trust the core of the defense, but if they have a new signal caller on the defensive side of the ball and it's, you know, a rookie or a vet that's not Devondre Campbell, I wonder what that does to the defense moving forward.
So is Devondre high on your list of ones to retain?
He absolutely would be. Yeah.
I'm curious what his market is because
he made himself not gonna a lot
be,
of money.
Yeah, it's not going to be anywhere close to what they're paying him this season, but he certainly, I would imagine, would prefer to stay in the situation that led him to become an all-pro. But I also understand, like, when given the opportunity, go get the bag. And I'm also fully in support of players going and getting the money when it's offered to them, because you never know when you can tear your ACL and potentially not play for a season. So yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of really interesting moving pieces this off season that you and I will certainly dive into over the course of the next few months. I commend folks, because I see it all over Twitter, who are already like looking at the draft and looking at free agency and cap situations. I need some time. I need some time. After the Super Bowl is when I'll start to look at stuff like that.
So the thing that I'm curious about, and we kind of talked about this in the DMs because we just, you know, talk every day anyway, but I think you and I had our thoughts on what this offseason maybe now will look like and potentially what the roster will look like, who the Packers will prioritize bringing back, who they won't be able to. I know you didn't get a chance to listen to it. I haven't listened to it in full yet, but, you know, seeing some of the statements coming out on Twitter from Matt LaFleur's presser today about the front office and everybody being all in on Aaron Rodgers coming back, like, does that change anything for you and maybe what you thought would happen versus now what we're hearing from the front office? Because what's Matt LaFleur going to do, right? He's not going to say, oh yeah, okay, I guess we trade him. Like, he has to say we're all in on this guy regardless, but
I don't think his comments mean anything because I think actually Aaron has more power in this situation than he ever has before. I think there's a couple of different scenarios. I think the most likely scenario is that actually I'm pretty 50-50 on whether he just retires or if he gets traded. I think the least likely scenario is him returning simply from just like a cap situation. Like, I don't know how much sense, like he would have to rework his deal in order to keep like anybody. And he blatantly said after the game, he wants no part in being part of a rebuild, which I thought was a very interesting statement of him to make. I think where Davante Adams goes will impact his decision and vice versa. The best case scenario from the Packers standpoint is for Aaron Rodgers to get traded and for them to get a haul for him, basically, and help with this quote unquote rebuild that they're about to go into. From a fan standpoint, I think it would be hard to watch him play in another jersey. I think it would be fine if he retired. I think that if he went somewhere else, I don't know if his career would end the way he wants it to. I think he was in the best position he's ever going to be to try to get back to the Super Bowl with the Packers. And I don't know if there's another team that's going to give him that opportunity. And I think he might be chasing the Tom Brady Buccaneers end of career saga. And I don't think that he's going to achieve that.
I'm glad you brought that up because I've been wanting to like, I've been trying to flesh this out in my brain and maybe we can talk it out, but you know, he's so big on legacy and like what that means to him. And he got the unprecedented 17th season as a Packers quarterback. And, you know, I think I saw a stat today that he has the most playoff losses, you know, by a franchise quarterback right now. He's got 10, like it's like most all time or some bizarre stat like that, where he just, and his legacy, unfortunately, after Super Bowl 45 is that he's been on teams that can't get it done in big moments. And, you know, a lot of that wasn't necessarily his fault. We talked about that earlier in the show where he's had defenses let him down. Like that's not, you know, anything against him specifically, but if he goes to a different team and finishes 8-9 or even ends up as a wild card team and doesn't get to a Super Bowl, is he continuing his legacy where he jumped ship and then he's adding more losses to his record? And, you know, if he goes to Denver, if he went to the AFC North, we're talking about two of the best divisions in football.
Right.
If your primary goal to get to the playoffs is to win your division, he can beat the hell out of the NFC North. And I don't know if he will have that same success if he goes and has to play Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert four times a year, or if he played Joey Burrow and Lamar Jackson four times a year. Like, I don't know if he can find a better shot at like winning your division and making a damn push at something.
I actually don't know if Aaron Rodgers, this is straight conjecture now and I hate doing this, but I actually don't know if Aaron Rodgers cares enough about winning. And I know that sounds so dumb because he just went 13-4 and you can come after me for this take, but I think this last playoff loss was like a really selfish loss. And like, I know that I'm probably putting too much blame on him, but all he needed to do is play within the structure of Matt LaFleur's office, and he didn't. Like, it's probably not that simple, but I just view it as a really selfish loss. So I don't know. I mean, like, we're making this assumption that he does have the same mindset as Brady, which is just competitive nature, win, win, win. Like, I think that there is partly, like, a selfish nature to this, like an ego that needs to be fed to continue to play. Like, I don't want that to be my last game ever. I don't want that to be the last memory of me. And I actually don't, I agree with you though. I don't know if he's going to reach that, because every quarterback's like goal, ideal scenario is the Peyton Manning, is win a Super Bowl, retire and ride off into the sunset. And I like, even Tom Brady just lost to the Rams. He's thinking about retiring, which I'll hold my breath on that. Like,
right.
You know, like that might be his last game ever. And that's just, again, losing in the divisional round. Like, it's just, it's really, really hard to get to that like ideal state. And when you've been playing in the league for so long, you're likely not going to get the storybook ending. You're going to get the Big Ben ending. You're going to get the Eli Manning ending. And that's just like what it is. So if Rodgers wants to retire now, have stayed with his same team for 17 seasons, made it to the playoffs, had a long run, and just say, I'm done. Like, I think I just would respect that more than trying to like chase something that I'm not sure he's going to achieve.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. And I think, you know, a big part of it is, you know, Tom Brady, you know, He's got his rings. He's an anomaly. He's in a league of his own. Like, we know that. Maybe someday Patrick Mahomes or like Josh Allen will be in that conversation if they go ring chasing the way that they are. But, you know, especially if we're talking about the competition that exists, like the AFC playoffs are going to be dynamite for the next 15 years. Like, we're going to get to watch Burrow and Mahomes, and Herbert's going to get there, and Allen and Lamar Jackson. Like, it's going to be incredible. And the NFC is kind of wide open right now. So when you think about, you know, the chances and the missed opportunities, I think that's why it stings the most.
Yeah.
Because, and, you know, maybe Tom Brady should have retired last season, and then it would have been, you know, you did the thing with the Patriots, you did the thing with the Bucks, and you were going out a champion. But it's like you said, nobody really gets right now the Peyton Manning's legacy anymore. And even then, he was not good that season. Like, it was a lot of having a really good defense and a really good supporting cast.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's being interesting to watch. I'm going to hold Rodgers to his statement that it's not going to be a whole offseason drag out. Like, he's going to make a decision.
I don't think it will be.
I think that's the fair thing to do to a front office that gave him everything that he asked for, to a coach that he seemingly adores, and to a team that he loves. So it's curious. And I think the decision, once that decision, like, that's the linchpin
it's
to the
domino.
Packers, off-season decision-making process, and, like, obviously is going to show them how much money they're actually going to have in cap space. I mean, they're still going to have a ton of dead money regardless of what he does, trade or retire or come back. I'm not even including that. and then they get to decide what they want to do with the rest of the players, and I think Davante Adams is probably, like, 1B on their list to figure out.
Yeah, I want to put this comment up from Patrick here because I think it's really valid, right? Like he said, Matt LaFleur is in the denial stage if he thinks the Packers can keep everyone without consequences. And, you know, if you listen to any of his presser today, he really was talking about, you know, how this team is absolutely not going to be in a rebuild, and they feel pretty comfortable in the plan that they have, and they can bring enough guys back to be competitive. And, you know, maybe that's the case, but I just don't really see a way for this team to continuously kick the can down the road. Like, I think we saw them do that the last couple of years, and at some point you just got to pick up the can.
Actually think that, like, we use the term rebuild in really interesting scenarios, and I don't think what the Packers are doing is a full rebuild, even if it would feel that way with a new quarterback. Rebuilds are like the Jets wiping the slate clean with coordinators, personnel, all of their main, like, trading away all of their assets that they have, and then completely starting anew. Like, the Packers aren't doing that. They have, like, a solid core of not just players, but personnel to, like, fill in the holes. Now, it feels like a rebuild because the holes are quarterback and wide receiver one. So, like, arguably the two most important holes on the roster. But I think I agree with him. I don't think that this is a rebuild, but it's a really, really important offseason for the next potentially 10, 15 years of the Green Bay Packers if they make the right decisions in this offseason. It's just like, it's hard to look at the list of potential free agents that you're losing because one choice, and I think Andy Herman talked about this morning in his daily YouTube video, and I think if everyone's not listening to those, they should be, because they're amazing. But he said, like, one decision, even if it seems like tangential and on the fringe, can completely, like, alter the way a roster looks. And with the amount of decisions that Goo and Russ Ball and Mark Murphy have to make, it just feels like there's a lot of room for error potentially.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we listed all the core players that are going to be back on defense. Like, the defense is not rebuilding, you know, that right. wouldn't be, you know, if they blow up special teams, I think everybody's fine with that. You can rebuild special teams. You probably should rebuild special teams, but, you know, change is hard. And when you are a Green Bay Packer fan and you went from, you know, 16 years of Brett Favre to 17 years of Aaron Rodgers, like, it feels like a rebuild when you don't have a first ballot Hall of Famer under center. And maybe that's Jordan Love. Maybe, you know, there's a transitional quarterback. Maybe they draft someone in a couple of years. Like, I think that's the part that is so striking, is when we look at the future of the team, you can't say, like, hey, at least you got 12. And, you know, maybe they will for another year. But that's always been for the, like, whatever happens when the defense was bad, when they didn't have any weapons, quote unquote, outside of Davante Adams. Like, but you always had 12. So I think
watch, yeah,
we're rebuilding an identity, I think is what we're doing. We're not rebuilding a team. We're rebuilding our perception of who the Packers are, because the Packers have always been Aaron Rodgers and.
Spot on. Like, just so spot on. And you watch these games, the rest of these divisional games, and it's so obvious. Like, it's just so clear that you win when you have that franchise quarterback. You win when you have Allen, Mahomes, Joe Burrow, even Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford looked great against the Bucs, right? Like, you need an above average elite quarterback, unless you are Kyle Shanahan and you do some voodoo freaking magic with Jimmy fucking Garoppolo. But it's true. Like, long-term success is completely centered around the quarterback. And for the first time in 30 years, the Packers have to make a decision around that player. And it's, I think that's what's so scary. I'm not envious of fans who deal with this like year in and year out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know what else. I mean, this offseason is going to be fascinating. I think that the Packers are going to have a really good draft. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what they prioritize, you know, and again, who comes back. The dominoes have to start falling, and I don't think we'll see too much movement until at least after the Super Bowl. But yeah, things, there's going to be some pieces. What happens in free agency is going to be really interesting. And yeah, I mean, get ready for, I didn't think last offseason could get any weirder, to be quite honest. And I think I'm definitely more interested and invested in what this offseason is going to look like.
I'm not ready for it. Please just don't like drop any news and ruin draft day for me again, okay?
Yeah, like, I love the draft. Let's not.
Yeah. I guess since this is our kind of end of season recap show, do we have any like final thoughts on the season?
I hate like comparing playoff losses, because unless you go to the Super Bowl, like all losses are, you know, you could argue equally heartbreaking, but I think that the tone from the guys in the locker room is just nobody expected it to end this way. Fans didn't, the players didn't. And you obviously never go into into a game thinking you're about to take an L. Like, that's not the makeup of the team, but the way they responded from week one and the adversity, and, you know, they had the reinforcements back, like Z came back, Cobb was back, Jair was back. It just, to kind of fizzle out the way it did, this one stings. And I felt numb to it, I think, when it was happening live, but this one's going to sting for a while.
Yeah, I think that I have kind of two thoughts. One is, I think when I was thinking about this game, I actually put too much stock into the guys that were coming back off of injury. Like, you think that they're going to come back and just be the players that they are. And obviously they're not going to. You don't come back after not playing for 18 weeks and be the same guy. Now, that sack from Zadarius, like, my heart almost gave out. But like, you saw, like, Jair only rotated in on certain passing down situations and in dime. Like, Cobb wasn't targeted at all. And, you know, Josh Myers actually played great. You know, it was great seeing Billy Turner back in there, but I think there was like a lot of stock put into getting those guys back. And I thought going into this playoff season that even if none of them came back, like, this team was ready and it was good enough to go all the way. And I don't know, football is a heartbreaker, right? Like I said earlier, it's not best 3 out of 5. It's, you get one and done. And if you just like happen to drop a stinker on the most important day, you just go home. And this team has had that for the last couple of seasons. And I feel for them. I think my reactions like moving forward are that I still feel like this team is poised for some kind of bounce back. Barring that Jordan Love's just ends up being really, really bad. But I think I say that because all the guys that could potentially still be there, and because of the personnel. Like, I think Matt LaFleur, I question some of his playoff decision making under pressure, but he's a phenomenal coach. And even if Nathaniel Hackett goes and gets a head coaching job, like, you promote from within. Okay, it's Luke Getsy who becomes offensive coordinator, and you still have Joe Barry, and you still have, you know, Goot, who I think proved to fans this offseason that he can make really wonderful personnel decisions for this team. So I think I still feel strong in that the problems aren't from within, like from the top down. There's just like just some changes coming, and they're going to be weird and potentially painful. And I think fans are going to be really impatient to see results, but I have a good feeling that the team's not really going to go off a cliff.
Yeah. And I mean, I think what I personally am most interested in is like, if this is the end of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and Jordan Love starts, I'm curious to see what the offense looks like, and not from a Jordan Love quarterback skill set standpoint, but like, what can Matt LaFleur do with him? Because, you know, for all the qualms about him not deserving coach of the year because he had Aaron Rodgers, like, I want to see him now run an offense with a quarterback that won't be able to just, you know, make the changes at the line and do have the 15 years in his pocket before the head coach even gets there that he can build off of. So that's, I think that's going to be the most interesting thing to me, is seeing what the offense looks like and how it differs. And not just because there's not a Hall of Famer back there.
Yeah. Imagine the Packers become like a defensive dominant, like run heavy team.
Power back. Yeah.
Power back team. I'm here for it. I don't care how they win. I just like watching them win. Okay. Well, this was a really fun season with you all. I love these recaps, and I'm sure we will get back to them next year. Off-season schedule will be just a regular episode, I think, moving forward. This will be the episode, if you catch this at the end or you're watching it back, we will drop this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Cheesehead TV, et cetera, for you to listen to, because they're not really much else to talk about. So just enjoy and digest and get ready for championship weekend.
Yeah. So, you know, thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Maggie J. Loney, at Perry_Goldstein. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, on Twitch at Packs What She Said, and Instagram Packs What She Said. If you are in the market for a new razor, check out our friends at Manscaped. You can use code PWSS20 for 20% off your order and free shipping. They have things other than razors. They have body wash, shampoo, cologne. The cologne smells really good. So yeah, you know, maybe for Valentine's Day or for like a little pick you up after this season that didn't end the way we wanted it to. But thank you as always for listening. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Is